Well, this is the first Sunday of the new year, and traditionally in the West, it's a time when we make New Year's resolutions and reflect on where to take our lives for the coming year. As Unitarian Universalists, we seek inspiration from all the world's religions, and in this case, I think Hindu can really help us through its concept of Dharma. I'm pleased to introduce our speaker on this subject today, Mahadevji, who is the Acharya, which is like a pastor for the Chinmaya mission in Anaheim. He was first inspired by Swami Chinmayananda, the founder of the Chinmaya missions, during a meeting with him at MIT in Boston in 1978. Since then, he has been an active teacher in the Chinmaya missions throughout Southern California, and during this time, they've grown to serve nearly 1,000 people. He has also been a featured speaker on Hinduism to many Christian and secular groups as well. Dr. Mahadev has a PhD in physics and, before retiring, worked in process and systems engineering for aerospace, in the aerospace industry. So without further ado, I'd like to invite Mahadevji to speak to us.
I thank you very much for the opportunity to share my thoughts with you, and I hope they make a difference after you listen to me today. Let me just chant an invocation first. This is an invocation to, it's telling you that let all our minds be in sync together, so that not only are you learning from me, but I'm also learning from you. You know, as I saw here, it was so inspiring. The service was so inspiring. And all of you spoke very, very well. So, you know, I just want to say that invocation, and after that, we'll start on the topic. Okay.
Sahanau bhunaktu sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavaditamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. Samasta janakalyane niratam karunamayam namami chinmayam devam sadgurum brahma vidvaram.
This invocation that I chanted, it's telling us, as I explained in the beginning, it's telling us that let us, I'm invoking the presence of the Lord in every form, whatever, and invoking His presence so that all of, to tell us that that which pervades everything, that which pervades all of us, every one of us, the truth that pervades every one of us, you know, that we go within and try to tap into that truth, okay? And as I'm speaking to you and you're listening, that we absorb the teachings, what we learn from each other. That's what this invocation tells you. You know, when we chant Om, 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 it's like hello, 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 talking to God. Hello, hello, hello. You're invoking the presence of God. And if you really chant it correctly, you will see that it really makes a difference within you. Because, you know, it's not sectarian, it's nothing. Actually, Hinduism is not an ism. You know, it's just called Hindu. Unfortunately, the people who occupy a certain geographical area for a certain period of time, they imbibe a culture. And because they were near the Sindhu River, they came to be called Hindus. And that's not what it is. Actually, what it's called is Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana means eternal. Dharma means values. So, you know, it's eternal values means it's not, it doesn't, pertain to any particular religion. It pertains to all of humanity for all of time. See? So that's what dharma is. Dharma is that which sustains the universe. That which sustains the universe. That which is the fabric of the entire universe. Everything is woven around dharma. Every single being in this universe acts in accordance to its own dharma. Now, I'm going to discuss this topic in three sections. First of all, what does dharma mean? Why is it such a big deal? Is it a big deal? Yes, it is. It's the biggest deal. Second, how do I implement this principle of dharma in everyday life? And third, why should I do this and what do I get out of it? Okay? These are very practical, down-to-earth things. And let me tell you, there was a great saint. His name was Yogananda. You must have heard of him. It's called Self-Realization Fellowship. And he speaks about, he's got a very nice song. It says, O God beautiful, at thy feet, O I do bow. In the mountains thou art high, in the rivers thou art restless, in the ocean thou art grave, in the forest thou art green, to the sorrowful thou art sympathy, to the yogi thou art bliss. So look at all those things. It points you in the right direction of dharma. See? So what is it? When you look at a mountain, you say, wow, look at that mountain, how high it is. Okay? You're inspired. The very essence of whatever it is the dharma of that particular thing. So the dharma is the essence of each and every being in this universe. Okay? Now, take an example of a simple pendulum. Because I'm a physicist, I'll give you an example from physics. If you take a simple pendulum and pull it to one side and let it go, it's not going to stay here. It's not comfortable over there. Where is it comfortable? It goes on swinging, 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 and finally comes to rest only in the middle. Why is it comfortable in the middle? Because there's something called potential energy. And physics says that the potential energy of any object depends upon its height from the bottom. Because it's mass times gravity times h, which is the height. Now, so if you look at this, the height of this from this baseline is this. But when it comes back here, it is zero. So when the potential energy is minimum, this pendulum bob is very comfortable. That's its comfortable position. So it's its equilibrium position. So too, just like a pendulum has an equilibrium position, a human being has a position of equilibrium. And the mind of a human being determines that position of equilibrium. So if your mind is equanimous, if it is calm, like you did this meditation, which is good, okay? So if your mind is calm, and mind you, calm doesn't mean just sitting in a place like that and just doing it for some time. That means in and out, whether you're in the marketplace, whether you're here, whether you're sitting in a church, whatever it is, your mind must be calm. If you're able to achieve that, then you are truly in meditation. Okay, so all these things. So meditation is a state of mind. Okay, and that state of mind, you sample it by sitting in a place and listening to this, and you see how quiet that should be. Now bring the same quietude in every single action that you do. In other words, you must have heard the word "be conscious of what you do." Being conscious is the most important thing. If you become conscious of what you do, you're praying 24 hours a day. Why is that? Because you're not letting the robot you take over the real you. Because the real you is divine. Understand that. Every one of you is nothing but a spark of divinity. Everything, this universe, is a spark of divinity. The birds, the trees, the animals, everything has divinity. Divinity is the essence of everything. Okay, so we talked about the simple pendulum. Okay, if you look, in one of the Hindu scriptures, I'm using the word Hindu, not in the sense that you understand. So, but I have to use it because that's the way you understand it. So in the Hindu scripture, there is Lord Krishna tells Arjuna. Lord Krishna is the Lord in the form, and he's advising a person in the battlefield. Just imagine the Lord advising a person on the battlefield. The battlefield symbolizes the battlefield of life. It's not just a battle right there. He's telling him, do your duty. He's saying, I can't fight. I'm going to kill somebody there. I mean, you know, there is a law against killing people, right? He says, you're not killing anybody. What you're doing is, you're doing your duty to your country. So when you're doing, when a soldier is doing a duty to his or her country, that is truly following the dharma. That is dharmic. If you just stay back and say, no, I don't want to fight, okay? In a cowardly way, that is cowardice. But if you're fighting for your country, it's truly a dharmic act. Okay? So this is one of the examples I can give you. See, it says, dharana dharma dharmiti yahur dharmena vidrita praja yatsya dharana samyuktam sadharma iti nischayah. Dharma. What is dharma? Dharma upholds both this worldly and the otherworldly affairs. That means every single thing. Not only here, but even the other worlds. The other worlds, I'm talking about heavenly worlds or whatever worlds you can think of. Alright? Okay. So now, understand another thing. Look at different examples of dharma. The law of gravity. You know, if you think Newton discovered the law, they say, but if it was not there, what would Newton have done? Okay? I mean, he just discovered it, but it was there. The point is that because of that, you're sitting here listening on this earth, which is rotating. You would be thrown out of here if it were not for the power of gravity. But what is that gravity? The gravity is the dharma. So that is the earth's dharma. It's doing its job. The sun's dharma is its heat and light. It's giving you heat and light. If it were a little bit closer, you would be burnt to a crisp. If it was a little bit farther, you would be frozen. But look at that. It stays right there. And it doesn't ask you anything back. See, that's giving and not asking back. See, it's the same as saying the joy is in giving. The sun is doing it all the time. The trees give you shade. Okay, what are we doing? We use the wood to make houses and everything else. But, you know, but look at them. They don't ask anything back. They give you shade, they give you fruits, and everything else. Flowers. All of nature. So, that is the dharma of the tree. All the ecosystems that sustain all life, they are also doing their job, their dharma. Okay? If you look at, you know, honeybees. You know, I saw a clip from National Geographic. You know what it shows? It's about ants, yeah. Even the bees, but the ants. Let me talk about the ants first. In National Geographic, they had a clip. You know, when you have you seen these Himalayas? When you go to the Himalayas, you have this deep gorge in here. And you know, these two mountains are there, and in between is this deep thing. And you know, if you fall off, you had it. You're all the way down, right? For an ant, you know, when the land is all parched, okay, and you see cracks in the ground. Okay, the ants cannot. That crack is as bad as a gorge for us up in the Himalayas. It cannot just cross by itself. So how does it manage? How does it do? It wants to make the queen ant cross. How does it do that? You know, the ants, they interweave their bodies together and they form a bridge across and let the queen ant cross. Oh, why would they do that? You know, they're so small. They don't have a brain. They don't have anything. But look at that. What is it that guides them? That which guides them is the dharma. You see, animals and ants don't have an ego. And when you don't have an ego, that power which is the eternal power guides you. It is in and through every single thing. But when your ego comes in the way, then God says, okay, you do what you want. I'll stay away. See, that is why. So the idea is, you know, you've seen this many times. You've seen, let go, let go, let go. Let go is the right philosophy. You know, never take anything. So, you know, when something happens, don't try not to take it so seriously. Understand that your nature is divine. Okay, understand that your nature is divine. And every single thing is divine. Every single being around you is divine. The animals, the birds, the trees. Okay, even this bench here, which looks like an inanimate object, it has electrons and atoms whizzing in there. Okay, there's a lot of activity in there. And it has something called existence. You see, that so dharma is also existence. You know, can you get rid of this table? I cannot. I can burn it, I can break it, I can turn it to ashes, but you still cannot get rid of it. And so with everything. Why? Because existence is an integral part of everything. and existence is God. See, we have, when we describe the eternal, you know, you can't use descriptors to describe the eternal. So what are these different forms that you see? Christ, Buddha, Krishna, all these are different manifestations of that eternal divinity coming to you because those minds were pure. When your mind is pure, just like you can also make your mind pure. When your mind becomes pure, you will also become like that. You know? So the point is, you know, so all of life should be spent in purifying the mind. Cleaning up the mind. Cleaning up the mind means no judgments in your mind. Okay? Then no pairs of opposites. I don't like this, I like this. So you get rid of all these different things in your mind. And then don't separate yourself from the rest of the world. Everything, understand that everything is you. There's no kind of thing as a friend and an enemy. Everything is one. Everything is me. You know, put that inside. Because, you know, understand that your true nature is that of the spirit. And that everything in this universe is nothing but that. Okay? Now, so what are the individual forms here? These are just individual forms because each of us has an individual mind. And why is everybody different although there is one spirit? One spirit activates everything, but everything looks different. Why? Because each mind is different. You see that? It's like electricity. Electricity is one, but the appliances are different. A bulb burns because of electricity. An iron is hot because it's made to do that. Because the resistance of those coils are like that. Huh? Anything that you see, any appliance, it can only work if the electricity is there. I can get $1 million fan, but it will not work if there's no electricity. Isn't it? Right? So the point is that electricity is the thing. So you are nothing. Just like electricity is manifests light in the bulb, heat in the iron, and so on. So too that divinity is the manifestation in us, and so our dharma is our divinity. So understand. So the essence of your being is your divinity, and the purpose is to express that in life, not by saying I'm divine, but showing it in your actions. So anything that you do that reduces your ego, you're going in the right direction. Everything that you do to load more and more stuff on yourself, you're going against the stream. And you will always notice, you know, just like I told you, the pendulum is comfortable in this position. You will see that if your actions are all dharmic, your whole life will go very, very smoothly. You'll feel very calm no matter what you do. Okay? You know, it's like this. Ego is like this. Ego is like poison. If I take poison and put it, a poison pill, and I put it in a glass of water and drink it, finished. Everything is gone. I'm gone. If I take it and put it in a tub of water, the chances are I might live, but I'll be in the hospital. If I put it in the ocean, chances are nothing will happen to me. So as I dilute my ego more and more, and I spread it around, and I understand that, hey, everything is that. Okay, I am not a separate, I am not an island. You know, they say no person is an island. It's true. You know, just think about this. Take anything on you that is here. Do you think this is yours? No. The product for this comes from cotton. Cotton comes from the earth. Take anything, your glasses, whatever you want in your physical body. Your whole physical body is nothing but a product of earth, water, fire, air and space. These five elements. That's why you can physically, you can see that you can, when you bury the body or cremate the body, one way or the other, it becomes one with the elements. You see, you can't take it with you. That's what they mean. That is why, you know, you borrowed everything. Everything has come as borrowed. So the Lord gives you that. And you're giving it back. See, that is the way. You know, that is why it's difficult to accept physical death. But if you understand that my nature is divine, I never die. My physical body dies. If you keep that philosophy in mind, then you will see. Because that is the truth. I am not saying it. The sages said it. The Lord said it in different ways. Okay? So if you understand that truth, okay, that makes a big difference. Okay? Now the other thing is, let me show you another example. You know honey, if you look at honey, what is the dharma of honey? Honey, you can say sweetness. You know, remember, dharma is something that if you remove that thing, take away that thing, it is not what it is. So dharma of salt is its saltiness. The dharma of sugar is its sweetness. The dharma of honey is the viscosity and sweetness. See that? It's sticky. The stickiness. Okay? You see that? So each one. So the dharma of the sun is the light and heat. The dharma of a human being is his or her divinity. So never forget that. So that is why our purpose is to express that divinity in life. Show it in everything. That is why charity is good. As long as you don't think that, hey, I gave all this money. If you do that, then that cancels out the effect. But if you just give it and don't even mention it, don't worry about the world, whether the world is recognizing you. Worry about the fact. I mean, just understand that, hey, something is so nice to do that. You know, if you do that, and if you give freely of yourself, no matter whether it's money, knowledge, whatever it is, whatever you give of yourself, okay, that makes a big difference. And it contributes, it reduces your ego. As you reduces your ego, the God in you, the divinity in you takes over. As long as ego is there, you put a right there, you put a wall between the divinity and you. Do you understand? I mean, you know, it's like, and then how did we get into this? That's another subject altogether. We got into this mess because we wanted it. So, we can't blame God for it. Okay? We got into this mess because we wanted it, because our own desires, you know, gave way to these things. Okay? So, what should you do? Try to reduce more and more of your wants. Because live a simple life, you know, as you live a more and more simple life, you see that everything becomes less and less complicated. You know, I'm telling you, when we live in the house, right, and we accumulate so many things, over 20 years, just imagine how much things are there in the house. And to get rid of each of those, oh my goodness, oh no, this is my daughter's, I cannot get rid of it, how can I do that? You know, and so many other things are there. I mean, you don't need them there, but you have to get rid of them, right? Because you can't keep all this. What are you going to do with all this? The person who's going to inherit your house is going to have to worry about all those things. Just think about that. See? So the idea is, you know, to give up more and more and live a more and more simple life. Okay? That makes the way. Okay? Now, so, consider here, why in a human being it is hard to practice the dharma? Why is it in animals it's just spontaneous? As I told you, it is your ego. See, if you allow, the problem is we have free will. Free will is also a blessing. Understand that. Because I have a choice. I have a choice to do something good. I have a choice to do something destructive. Okay? As long as I use my choice in the right way, I am doing it in a dharmic way. Now what happens? Sometimes my ego gets the better of me. When I say ego, that means I do things for my body, my mind and my intellect. For the peace of my body. You see, you notice I said my body. So I am not concerned with the rest of the world. When I say I want to feel this comfort, I don't care, I'll turn the AC up, I don't care what everybody else feels. Yeah, that is ego. If I say I want to eat this food and I want this as a menu for everybody. Why? Because you like it, and what if somebody else doesn't like it? See, so you are interested in your own body, the comfort of your own body, your own mental zone also, and your own intellectual thing. Just because you have a meeting and you don't like somebody there, and you say, no, what you say is wrong, what I say is right. Okay, well, is that fair? That's not fair. You can see that, you know, clearly. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, a scripture, I mean, very, very beautifully, the Lord says, understand that I am the string. I am the string that threads into every single thing in this universe. And everything in this universe is like a bead. So understand that your nature is the string, not the bead. If you understand that your nature is a bead, a bead over here can compare it with the next bead and say, hey, I'm a more shiny bead, okay? I'm a shinier bead. I'm a better quality thing. I'm the natural stuff. This is the artificial stuff. You know, so that's what happens, you know, in a company meeting, okay? Let us say, if you understand that your nature is this string and that everybody around you at that meeting is also the same string, you will never let your ego go ahead of you. Okay? Because what will happen? You will say that, hey, you will be very fair when somebody else gives you, and just understand, it's also common sense. Because you don't know everything. Okay? There are experts. There are 7 people. Let's say you're doing a project on the environment. Okay? And somebody is doing air pollution, somebody else is doing water pollution, somebody is doing pollution, earth pollution. So there are different people doing different aspects. If each one takes up a task and brings all their knowledge together, and you put it together, and you have such a beautiful thing. If you think you know everything, you know, you lose that. Supposing all these people brought together, and then you said, my goodness, it's such a nice project, and you told the company, hey, look at it, I didn't do it, my team did it. Then you are looking at yourself as the string. But if you say, I did it, you know, these people were just reporting to me. See, that's wrong. You see that? That's where the ego comes in. So remember this one philosophy thing in you. Remember that I am the string and the person next to me is also the string. The same string, not a different string. And the whole world is threaded around us. And what are these beads? The beads are my body, my mind and my intellect. And they are not me. Understand, the body, mind, intellect is not you. You are something divine that activates, that energizes the body, mind, intellect in you. You know, the body, mind, intellect is like a shell. But that which is divinity in you activates these. And because of this divinity in you, this body is able to do so many things. This mind is able to, even if people put you in a prison, your mind can go outside the prison and reach some other place. Look at that, you know. I mean, it's amazing. Your intellect is capable of thinking the highest thoughts. Okay? But just think, what is it that's doing it? That is the divinity in you. Okay? So understand that keep this firmly in mind that my nature is divine. Okay? My goal in life is to bring that divinity into everything I do. And to understand that I am the string. If you understand these three things, then you'll be in good shape. Now, as a human being, how do we live a life of dharma? Okay? You know, now, as I told you, the ego is the main problem here. Okay? If you live a conscious life, then you will live a life of dharma. Now, let me tell you another benefit of the conscious life. Okay? If I know that I take this pencil, if I know what I'm doing and I'm conscious of what I do, I take this pencil, I say, I put it here, and then I'm taking this and I consciously move this. Notice that I'm looking only at what I'm doing here. Okay, now and I go back and do something. You know what happens? There's a picture in your memory. If you left your pencil or your keys somewhere else, you will know where it is. You know what I'm talking about. Many times, we are in a hurry, and in the morning, where are my keys? And you rush to get the keys, and you can't find it anywhere. But if you did everything consciously, you would know exactly where your keys are. You know, I've had these experiences, that's why I'm telling you, okay? Yeah, I'm sure many of you too. You know, I had this music box, and you know, I go and give my talks and everything else, and I talk to kids also. So when I sing, I keep this music box on. And on that day, after we sang, you know, we sat on the floor with all the kids, and then after that, we went and had dinner. And I forgot that I put my music box there. After a while, somebody took that and put it somewhere else. And then I went home, and I found that I didn't have my music box in my hand. So I had to call back and see. On the other hand, I took the other books and I put it on top of the piano in the house. And then I went and had my dinner. And I took those books automatically. But I didn't take that. Why? Because I didn't make a conscious note in my mind. You see that? So anything that you do consciously is a plus. So don't rush into things. Do things slowly. It doesn't matter. You know, life is not, there's no big rush there. Don't get into the rush mode. Be slow. It doesn't matter to be slow, but be slow and be very conscious of what you do. When you do that, it's like prayer. You know, it's like praying to the Lord 24 hours a day. If you put your mind and if you become very conscious of what you do, it's like meditation and prayer all day. Just imagine the benefit. It's not so easy, mind you. You know, even if you say to yourself, okay, for these 10 minutes, I'm going to watch myself. Okay? And then look at this and you'll see your mind is wandering in 5 minutes, it's gone. You try it? Try it, whatever you do. Another thing, let me give you another example. I'm getting late here. So another example. You know, as you eat, if you eat consciously, okay? Again, all this is dharma, mind you, because you're eating consciously means whenever you're conscious, you are fulfilling your dharma. So, when I eat consciously, you don't have to go to Jenny Craig. You will never be overweight. Why? Because God is eating. You're not eating. The ego is not eating. The God in you is eating. You're conscious of what you're doing. You take the food, put it in the mouth, chew it, swallow it, and you will see that your digestive processes also go very, very well. Right? Do you understand? See, that has to do with the dharma of the body. You know, when you violate the body is like a temple. It's like a church. Don't stuff junk food in it. Really? You know, you should take care of that. Because this is the dwelling place of the Lord, which is your real nature. Your real self is dwelling in this physical body, which is your residence for this life. When this life is over, you will go back to another house. You'll go to another house. This is what reincarnation is. Okay? And why is that? Why does that happen? Let me just tell you that also. You see, when your physical body goes, remember you have thoughts in your mind that are very, very strong. Those strong thoughts don't just go away, vanish like that. They are there. So what happens? You have to take another physical body to exhaust those thoughts. That is why you have to be reborn. Supposing you didn't have any thoughts, and you were living a very conscious life from moment to moment to moment. Imagine you will never even have stress in your life, because stress comes from the past that is already dead and from the future that is not born. But you are looking at it and you understand that the present moment alone is real. Because even to discuss the past, you have to bring it to the present. Even to discuss the future, you have to bring it to the present, isn't it? Can you discuss the past in the past? No. Can you discuss the past in the future? No. Can you discuss the future in the past? No. Everything has to come to the present. So the present moment alone is real. Therefore, living a conscious life is like living in the present. Do you understand? That is dharma. That is true dharma. Following your dharma. So, as you do this, so don't pollute. Don't pollute the earth. If you pollute the earth, you are violating the very dharma of that everything is following. You are violating that. Okay, that is why pollution is not good. Okay. The other thing is, I told you about your physical body. Don't pollute the physical body either. Okay. Now there are four pathways. Okay. It says dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Four things. Dharma means living a life consciously and living your divinity. Artha means wealth. Now, we have to earn wealth. But make sure that when you earn wealth, make sure that you are doing it in a dharmic way. Do you understand what I am saying? Don't earn that wealth by cheating. Don't earn that wealth by getting it from another source. Do it honestly. That is good. Then you are doing, you are earning it in a dharmic way. Then you are following your dharma. So that's dharma artha. Kama means desires. Have desires is okay. Everybody has desires. But try to limit them. You know, don't go excessive. You know what happens. When you go excessive, so many accidents occur. You know, on the freeway and stuff like that. You know, excessive drink. You know, so many things happen when you do things in excess. Right? So, dharma artha. Artha means wealth. Kama means desires. So, dharma is the first thing. See, this is the pathway of a human being. Pathway to divinity. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Moksha means liberation. Liberation means knowing who I am. That is the goal of life. The goal of life, if you live a life of dharma, you will finally understand who you are. Not by me telling you that your nature is divine, but you yourself will say, wow, why did I know this before? What have I been doing all these years? Do you understand? It's a revelation in you. And you see, any scripture says the same thing. You look at all the scriptures. You take the Bible, Christ said the same thing. Take the Hindu scriptures. Many, many thousands of years ago, they said the same thing. Why? Because the masters are different. They come in different times to address a different set of people. Because all those people's minds are different. Christ couldn't have addressed the people in that age. You see? And he had to address the people in the language of miracles. Because that is what he thought they will understand. So, like each master comes, Buddha had to do it in that life in the way that he did, you know, by preaching the path of moderation, right? So all these different things, okay? Even Buddha tells you about dharma. He calls it dhamma, okay? Yeah, okay. So I've told you what it is, and then the benefits of the dharmic life. Let me just quickly do this because I'm running out of time here. See, first of all, the mind becomes relatively calm and composed. Secondly, it becomes pure and focused. You are able to handle stress with relative ease. You will not give way to impulsive anger because you become conscious of what you do. You will look before you leap. You will become dynamic and you will have a great attitude in life. And you will be very good in your social behavior. And most important of all, you come closer to divinity and start living the scripture. You know, not just reading it, living it. That's what you do.
Well, we have a few minutes for comments and talk back from congregation. Would anyone like to make a comment?
You know, I'll tell you, each one of these things, the peace of mind doesn't come just like that. It takes practice. You know, when people say, why don't you do meditation? Meditation is, it's a state of mind, mind you. You can sit down and practice meditation. But there are people who are practicing meditation and still get angry and all that. It doesn't mean they've reached the ultimate. Okay? So the idea is you have to consciously look at it. Now, having listened to what I say, if you have it in your heart, you forgive the person who's saying that. And you will see that with time, that person will slowly come back. You know, it takes time even for that person. That person has to understand that he is getting mad at you or whatever it is, right? He has to understand it himself. And, you know, the problem is people don't contemplate on what is said. They may follow something, but they don't consistently follow it, and they don't take it very, very seriously in their life. Because, you see, if you don't have calmness, you can't do anything in your life. You know, if you don't have a focused mind, nothing can be achieved. Even to pass an exam, you have to be focused, right? I tell the kids in my youth class that, you know, they have to be focused. They have to study and all that, and then do that. So if the mind is not focused, nothing will happen. So ultimately, it has to be practiced, and the focus has to come slowly. Okay. So what you can do on your half part is practice some, do some meditation on your part. You know, take some deep breaths. You know, for example, even if you chant what I said, if you chant the Om 3 times, okay, every day, and chant it a number of times if you can, okay, this is a very, very beautiful thing. This is called a mudra. What does this mean? This means the infinite divine and me are one. And this is A-OK. See, it's telling you I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intellect. I am something different from that, and right now I don't recognize it, but I have to assert to myself that my nature is divine, and constantly assert that in your life. And if the other person bursts out, you forgive on this side, because doing anything else will not help. It will only aggravate the anger on the other side. You know, so I don't know if I answered your question, but it's very difficult for. That person has to understand it, has to consciously live life and understand that he's not doing the right thing. And on your side, you know, you can learn to, you know, if you learn to calm your mind every day, it helps. You see, even if you look at physics, if you look at the very, very outskirts, I mean the climax of physics, it's quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics is the ultimate physics. What it tells you is, when you're in the atomic world, you can't see the atoms. Okay? You can only, and whatever you do to probe the nature of what they are, you know, you can probe something here and find out with electronics what's going on. But when you try to probe anything in the atomic world, you cannot find out. Why? Because you're disturbing the very thing that you're probing. And it's no longer what it is. See, that is the amazing thing. Because what you're seeking is infinite. Okay, what I am telling you is from the experience of sages who have reached at that point. And those sages are there, and you can see the calmness of mind that they have. You can see that there's nothing that can faze them. Nothing on this earth. You know, they say that if you reach this ultimate state, there's nothing. The greatest tragedy on earth that will not even make an iota of a difference in your calmness. And you know, the scripture gives you the extent of that happiness. That joy is like 10 to the power of 18 times the most joyful, 10 to the power of 18 times higher than the most joyful person on earth. Just imagine. Can you imagine that much joy? It is being, you know, you become the source of joy itself. When you become the source of joy itself, what can you do? You only give joy. And that is what these great saints can do. See, that is why, if you sit there, you know, you just feel and feel the peace. Why is that? Because all they can do is radiate peace. It's like a hot source here, and there's a cold thing here. What's going to happen when I connect these two? The heat is going to flow down, isn't it? When water is up at a higher level, it has to flow to a lower level. It has to come down. So too, when knowledge is at that level, it can only flow down. And so, to answer your question, physics takes you up to a certain point. But after that point, the intellect is boggled. For example, you know, people can throw all kinds of things and say, oh yeah, that's because I don't believe it because there's no physics in it. Because you've gone beyond, you've transcended the point of physics. You've gone into metaphysics. Physics can take you only up to that point. When you get into the atomic world, even physics cannot help you. You know what I'm saying? You know, just look at it, look at it. I'll give you another evidence. I can look at my hand and I say, hey, it looks pretty clean. I take another microscope and I look at it, it looks dirty. I take a more powerful microscope, I can see germs. I can take a more powerful microscope, I can see even more germs. So what is real? How far do you go? You see what I'm saying? Same thing with the telescope. I can look at it with an ordinary telescope, I can see the moon. Yeah, I can see the craters. I take a more powerful telescope, I can see even more craters. If I take a radio telescope, I can see beyond the universe. But after that, what? Because it is still there, it is still going and going. Because that is beyond your intellect. Why? Because that which is higher than that is beyond the intellect. That is the reason why you cannot probe, you cannot describe the infinite with the finite. You can only point a direction. And what happens is, so how does it happen? It happens because you are headed in that right direction. And as you head in that direction with your sincerity and your faith, it automatically, that experience just sucks you in. There's no question of, you know, it's not like you are reaching for something. All you're doing is cleaning your mind. And the divinity that is yourself is manifesting out. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff in there. I need to give another talk. Some of the time.
Well, we have only about 1 minute.
Yeah. You know, when you fight for your country, you know, there is no revenge in your mind. You're not, if you're doing it with the idea that I am going to take revenge on that guy because he did something, that is wrong. But if you're truly doing it for a higher ideal, that you don't want your country to suffer like this, and that is why I'm doing it. Now, if you feel very strongly, you know, even at the cost of going to jail and do it, then that is good. That's a good dharma. I don't care. I will not fight. But I go to jail. I don't care even if they kill me. I will not fight. That's a good way. You know, dharma is kind of a very difficult thing to assess in a human being. Dharma of human being is a divinity. But, you know, for example, if a doctor, for example, a surgeon, okay, when he's cutting into a human being, right, if he says, no, I can't cut the part, but he's there to save the life, isn't it? So to here, you're here to do a greater good. Now, what is the greater good? People can have different opinions. That's true. Okay, but if that opinion doesn't come out of a sincere heart, okay, if it comes out of fanaticism, and out of a sense that only I am good and nothing else counts, that is wrong. So each one has to figure out that dharma for himself or herself. You know, so you yourself will know, am I doing this out of love for my country or am I doing this out of other motives? If you feel that you're doing it out of other motives, then it's not dharmic. If you feel that you're doing it out of love and you sincerely feel within you, then it's all right. Because, you know, who else will do it? You know, you look at even in the war, I was telling you in the Bhagavad Gita, the scenario is a war scene, okay? But what is he fighting for? You know, if he didn't fight, if Arjuna did not fight that war, okay, and the war what he was fighting was a war of dharma. If he did not fight it, the whole country would have been rampaged by these people who are so egoistic, who cared only of themselves, who didn't care for all of humanity, who destroyed and pillaged everybody. You see that? So dharma has, you know, it depends upon what you're fighting for and who you're fighting for, and it is very, very specific. Yes, absolute pacifist is not right either. You can't be pacifist. It's not right. Because, you know, and it is not a pacifist philosophy. It is a philosophy of action. In fact, Jim is going to read to you in the end. It says, you have the right to act, but not to the fruits of your action. Thank you.